Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. I've got a guest across the way making his triumphant return to the show. I can't believe it's been so long, Mike.
It has been.
How's that possible?
Well, I don't know. You got rid of me.
I kicked you out, didn't I?
You did. You kicked me out.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, thank you.
It's good to see you back. In the last 2 months, you boys have been a little bit busy, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah, it's been a, I guess you call it a good couple of months. I don't know if you want to refer to it that way.
It depends how you define good, right? I know that the city folks have been busy, the city police have been busy, but you guys have been busy doing all kinds of things too. Let's start with talking about one of the more recent things that happened. Was that a Wayne County arrest of the bath salt guy?
Yes, yes.
Who did that? Who made that arrest?
That'd be Sergeant Odie. It's been something that he's been working on for some time now. So
this wasn't just a traffic stop or something like that?
No, the traffic stop was the culmination of you know, investigations and a lot of, you know, road work by Sergeant Odie. He did a great job with this.
So there's been quite a bit of investigation already. It wasn't just accidentally pulling somebody over like the poor old guy from Alaska or whatever who Mark pulled over a few months ago.
No, this was an investigation that Chris has been working on for some time now and something that he's put a lot of effort into. So I was really proud of him and tickled that he finally got something out of it.
Tell me a little bit about what exactly was what was pulled out of the, was this all the supply? It's bath salts. I guess we can't talk too much about the particulars of this arrest since it's going to go through the courts still,
right,
too.
Right.
But are bath salts becoming a more prevalent problem in Wayne County and in Southern Illinois? Are you seeing the emergence of that particular drug, which is a tremendously bad drug for you, from what everything I hear?
It is. It's something that really causes a lot of problems for law enforcement, for emergency services folks, whether it be the ambulances, the emergency rooms, the hospitals, the jails. I mean, it really, really wreaks havoc just because of what it does to people and the reactions that people have. And it is becoming more prevalent here in our part of the state. I know Jefferson, Franklin, Hamilton, a lot of these counties have been affected a great deal here recently by the bath salt sales and trade. And so, you know, we're hoping that we can put some things together and really put a dent in these sales.
What exactly is it? I've been talking with you and with other law enforcement folks over the past several months. This isn't just what you go into Bed Bath and Beyond and buy in the jars. Whenever I heard the folks were like ingesting or smoking or doing whatever with bath salts, that's what my initial thought
is.
And that's what anybody's initial thought would be, because I have no idea else. What exactly are bath salts?
It's a synthetic compound. I've heard it referred to as like synthetic meth or something like that, and that's really not the case. The proper name is alpha PVP, and it's just a synthetic compound that has been developed during the time and around the same times of the K2 and all the other synthetic things that have come about. And it's just a synthetic drug that they use for some sort of high. And
it's a mind altering.
Yes. I mean, it has effects like a meth or a PCP or something like
that. Yeah, that was what I was going to want. That was my next question. Is it similar to a PCP where people, you hear stories, PCP, people just going apey,
right,
and having like superhuman strength and that kind of business? And
same kind of deal. I mean, it's I hate to oversimplify, you know, but it's along those same lines. It just alters the mind to the point to where paranoia, different things like that. You'll see the physical jitters and the different things. So it's tough on a person, and I don't think people realize what it is doing to them physically, you know, when they ingest this.
Do folks, when you say they ingest this, how do folks, how is it typically, is it smoked? Is it swallowed? Is it shot?
Yes.
It's done all three, huh?
Yeah, it you can ingest the basalts in any of those ways. We find a lot of smoking pipes. So they'll use a smoking pipe like they would a methamphetamine or anything like that.
So it's the same, basically the same type of smoking pipe then, mm-hmm. for meth as it is for bath salts.
Yeah, we find the glass pipes at different locations or on different people. And whether we've done search warrants or traffic stops, you'll find bath salts in accordance with smoking pipes or some sort of homemade device that they've used to ingest it.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess... I'm also wondering the economics of it, and I'm gonna get to the debit card question pretty soon. I'm wondering about that thing too. That's really. But is it on the street? Is it cheaper or more expensive than say the methamphetamine or something like that? Or I guess my question is: is your drug user? Are they being picky and choosy? No, I don't feel like I'm in the mood for a methamphetamine boost today. I think I'm more in the mood for a bath salt. What's on the mind of the folks who are doing this?
A lot of times you will find both. You'll find at a location, whether it be a search warrant again or a traffic stop, you will find both of those a lot of times together. It seems as though the bath salts are easier to get. They're having them shipped in, whether it be China or some of the location. They're using postal services or parcel services to get them here. And so, or they'll travel to St. Louis, other large metropolitan areas to get it mm-hmm. as well.
Is it you always remember methamphetamine like as a crystal or something. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, but I heard that's what it looks like. That's what you see on TV, mm-hmm. you know. Methamphetamine is a crystal rock or something like that. Is that how they're building bath salts, and they make it like as a solid rock that they'll stick in a pipe and try to smoke?
Well, with methamphetamine, you had different kinds. You had the crystal or a ice type meth, but then there was also the more of a chalky powdery type.
Okay.
As well. It just depends on how they make it. I think bath salts are very similar, but I think from just the reports that I have read from the guys that, you know, you'll find a white crystal like substance or a white powder like substance that tests positive for the alpha PVPs.
When did you first see some? What was the first time you saw bath salts in this area?
I'm trying to think. It's probably around the same time as, like I said earlier, around the same time as the K2 and some of that other synthetic stuff started coming in. The bath salts started to creep in at that time. So you're looking at four or five years ago.
Are you seeing as much K2 now as you have in past years? That's kind of been that law enforcement. And I think legislatures got in on that at the ground floor, didn't they?
Right. It seems as though, now I'm sure there's still some of it out there. I'm satisfied that there is. But I know that with legislature, the state of Illinois did a great job right off the bat trying to get rid of it or make it at least impossible for them to sell at the local
convenience store. Because that was aimed at your teenagers or something at a convenience store.
Sure.
At the time, semi-legal compound.
Right, but the bath salts seem to have stuck around longer and seems to be a something that's has a little staying power, if you will.
You know, the crazy part to me, and you and I have talked about this in the past, and it just the craziest thing about these about the bath salts and the K2 and for that matter, methamphetamine, is that anybody in their right mind would ingest this kind of thing. Not knowing how it's manufactured, or it could be basically ingesting poison.
Sure, and when you look at the ingredients, you know, especially when you look at the ingredients of methamphetamine, it is poison. When you're talking about Drano, Coleman lantern fuel, you know, things of that nature, those are things you would not put in your body on a normal basis. But you mix all that stuff together with lithium and different things, and then you want to ingest that. Well, obviously, you've seen over the years the damage that it's done to people physically,
right?
And mentally. And I think the bath salts, you will see long-term effects of those as well the longer we see this drug stay around?
That leads to a great question then. Do we have a long-term, you've got long-term experience with methamphetamine, mm-hmm. and long-term methamphetamine users. I've seen the pictures,
sure.
Of the progression over time.
Right.
We haven't had that particular amount of time to work with bath salts as a bad compound, as an illegal compound. Are you going to find that long-term type of body breakdown with a bath salt users as you will with the methamphetamine users?
Well, I think you will, just because of the simple fact of what we have seen in the jail, how they are physically,
yeah.
when they come in. I can't imagine, I mean, I'm not a doctor, obviously, but I can't imagine that something that does those things to you and makes you do those things to yourself physically, that there will not be some sort of internal damage and some sort of cerebral damage,
yeah.
you know, at some point. I just can't imagine that you will not have that.
It's still amazing.
It is.
It's still amazing to me. I've got Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett here. We're talking all kinds of things, and we'll return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Back after these.
I was running through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That policeman said, "Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool." I said, "If that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man locked in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low-down poor as me." Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Bruce Dickey here along with my guest this morning, Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. By the way, you're on the ballot this time, right? Are you
no.
or next time?
2 years.
2 years, okay. Mm-hmm. Any special needs to get ballots in and out from the county? You don't have to. Do you send any patrolmen around to go get ballots from different polling places and that kind of thing?
County clerk takes care of all that. They do a real good job. And so we, you know.
I know she'd commandeer you to, like, bring the Winoose load in or something that.
If they needed something, all they'd have to do is call. But no.
Orchardville.
There you go. From the far reaches of Wayne County.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So you basically take that night off.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, no, that's, you can't take the night off because there's going to be people inside and outside of the courthouse all night long.
There's always something going on.
Oh, that's cool. We've been talking about bath salts, and I'm not done talking about bath salts. There are two things I want to know. First, what are they getting out of it? What is? I understand with the methamphetamine, from what I understand, from people who've taken this, like, it just basically kicks their brain into some kind of gear that they don't have. Is that what they're getting out of bath salts too, or what? Am I wrong about that too?
I don't know that I've ever talked to anybody that has been on it that has said, you know, I assume that by the way they act and stuff, it's that same kind of.
Is it addictive?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, obviously
the methamphetamine is,
sure, and I'm going to make the assumption that the bath salts are the same way because they keep buying it, keep selling it. You know, keep smoking it or whatever.
What bodily changes? You said from what you see of the folks you've had arrested and have stayed in jail, they're weaning off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not weaning. It's cold turkey.
Right.
Off of it once they come into jail, and they might have been on for months or years or days anyway. What kind of bodily changes do you see over the course of time? Are folks putting weight back on? Are they just looking healthier when they get off of it, or what?
Well, I think at first you're going to see the regular, what I would call DTs. You know, somebody's trying to detox off of something, they're sick or, you know, don't feel well.
Bad to their gut.
Right. You know, they feel bad physically. You may have what they would feel like a flu-like symptom or whatever. Yeah. Then you start to see weight gain. You know, if somebody's been with us for a while, you'll see a marked weight gain.
Oh, really?
Over time.
And you know, your food, I'm not going to say bad things about your food, but it's not meant for weight gain, is it?
No. Obviously with the state guidelines, you have calorie restrictions and calorie counts that you have to have. But no, ours is not a
diet of choice for it's not one you would want to be like bodybuilding.
No. I can't imagine if you were an Olympic athlete, you'd want to be on.
You're not carb loading.
No, you're not. It's you know the best Swanson can make as far as TV dinners. You know. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, that's good. I guess it's good. It's certainly good. Folks get healthier once they get off the stuff.
Well, yes, but then you know.
Then they leave and get back on it.
Right. That seems to be the trend.
That must be disappointing.
It is. It's tough. It's tough to see somebody, you know, get their mind right to get back to, you know, if you deal with someone when they're in the right mind, and then you have them, whether it be drugs, alcohol, any of those things, they're not the same person.
Right.
So then you get them in, they're incarcerated for a little bit.
Clean them up.
They're clean. They've been eating good, probably as good as they've eaten for a while. They have the right mind back, pleasant. You know, a lot of times, you know, good folks.
Yeah.
And then go back out and they're right back in the life. And that's tough. It's tough to see. You know, it really is.
All right. You picked up with the dude that was picked up on the news reports had cash, a yes. goodly amount of cash.
Yes.
As well as a number of debit cards.
Right.
Prepaid debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me the economics of this thing. The prepaid debit cards are throwing me a little bit. So are folks buying bath salts from people with prepaid debit cards instead of cash nowadays? Is that a thing, we'll push this guy aside. Are drug dealers or folks using prepaid debit cards as a source of currency?
Well, what is happening and what we have understood, just some of the intelligence that we have gotten and some of the conferences and meetings that I've been to, what they are doing is they are putting their money on these cards. Instead of transporting cash, they transport the cards.
Right.
Well, somebody somewhere has control of that account on a computer.
Okay.
So I pull you over.
Okay.
And you've
got, say I'm Joe Drug Dealer. All right, we're going to call me Hypothetical Joe Drug Dealer.
Hypothetically, of course. You are.
Certainly.
You're the drug dealer.
I was going to say, are there any of them driving as nice a car as me? Probably.
Yes. You have a stack of 10 or 20 cards in your possession.
I got 20 debit cards.
Right.
Prepaid debit cards that I picked up at one of the local stores, drug stores or Walmart or something like that.
And what they're doing is loading the money on there. And if.
How much can you load on one of those things?
I'd say you could do, I know there are $500 cards
okay.
and different things like that. So if you have, say you're carrying around $5,000 in cash, well, then we're automatically going to probably seize that $5,000 cash.
You're not
going to
see automatic, anymore. Yeah, boom.
But with the cards, if somebody else knows that you got arrested, they can move that money off of those cards through an account and move it to another account.
Really?
So the cards are worthless.
So, okay, all right. No, I didn't realize that the access to those cards was remote.
You can do it that way, yes.
That is an interesting development in the financial side of
it. Is.
When did that start around?
The meetings that I've been to, it's been recent that we've started seeing that here in the last year and a half. I'm sure it has been going on longer than that.
Yeah.
With technology and computers and the swipers and things the way that they are anymore, I'm sure it's been going on for some time in larger areas, but we just started to see little crops of it here and there around this area.
You know, I have been requested. I've like bought something on the internet one time. I think it's once or twice. I've been requested to pay for it with one of those cards or something like that. And I always kind of thought, well, you know, that doesn't make sense. I guess they're trying to avoid credit card fees or some such thing. But whenever you're asked to use one of those cards, is it a I guess my question is that serving as a red flag of some kind?
Well, I know some of the scams that we've dealt with have asked people to go purchase the Green Dot cards or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, to give them as a gift or something like that, I think that's fine, you know, for your kids for gas money or whatever. I get it.
Send your kid to college with $500 card or
right,
something like that.
Right. So from that, I kind of see it. But from a standpoint of someone asking me to buy one of those and put money on it,
yeah,
and then to use that to pay.
I'm trying to remember what that was.
I don't know, unless they're trying to circumvent some sort of
credit
card fee or something like that.
It might have been that. It might have been taxes or something.
Maybe.
Might have been something to avoid a state tax.
Right.
I was, of course, willing to. I mean, I'm willing to pay the state tax, of course. But so. You go to training and you see these folks started introducing this thing into your training a few months ago, huh?
Right, right. And so, you know, I'm not asserting that this is the case here, but I know that that's something that we have looked at in the past.
Had you seen it in, had you seen any of these, like, folks with stacks of debit cards in practice before you'd heard about it in training?
No.
Or was that was the first time you...
Right. I don't recall seeing any here. Let's put it that way.
I'll be darned. Boy, this is fascinating
mm-hmm.
to me. It's an entire... There's an entire underworld
that,
isn't there?
Extensive. And with computers and technology and the things that they can do and the memory cards and the sticks that are in these cards now, the information that they can use. And again, when you've got it tied to an account and you can control what's on those cards by remote... you know, if I'm your boss, you get pinched.
Yeah.
And I see that you got pinched.
Yeah. You're the kingpin. I'm the prince. Pin.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm moving my money off of those cards somewhere else
immediately,
before somebody can read them or, you know, access them in any way.
So how are law enforcement agencies then treating those cards if they arrest somebody? Joe, hypothetical, just got arrested, we said, with 20 cards. Mm-hmm. You've got, I mean, it's public record when somebody gets arrested.
Sure.
And he's got a phone call to make or something. He's going to make a phone call. He may call somebody to get him out. He may call his boss.
Right.
Is there a law enforcement, apparatus set up to try to hold the funds on those cards yet, or have the legalities even been fleshed out through the banking industry
right.
to permit you to do that?
Well, we don't have anything locally, obviously, to do anything like that. I'm sure some of the larger departments would have some sort of way to read those or to see what's on those and be able to seize that. Because it's on. Because
I mean, that's part and parcel of the business,
right? And I would say you'd have to go through some sort of banking, you know, search warrant or something to freeze that account before it could be, cleared out.
Seized.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know all the ins and outs and legalities.
I bet you're going to learn them.
I'd say we probably will. Yes,
I suspect that's probably going to be part of your learning and training here in the next several months and years.
Yes, I would say that will be something that obviously now for us, we're going to have to look into and realize and figure out exactly what we need to do and how we need to do it and go forward.
Having been on that end of the banking industry, and you were in the financial industry for a while too, you understand that there are several hoops and hurdles
mm-hmm.
that have to be crossed
right.
before any seizure of such
right.
such and it seems like it's clearly it's clearly some kind of counterfeit or some kind of bad funds that you guys might want to take a hold of
right.
to kind of try to choke out the drug dealer, right?
Right. You know, the hoops and the legalities that you'd have to go through, you know, by the time you get all that done, they may have already done something on their end to clear that
that's
out.
That's what I'm what I'm wondering.
So that those are things.
That's what I'm wondering, how fast you can get the hoop jumping.
Right. And that's something we're going to have to look at going forward, is trying to get it expedited as quickly as possible so we don't lose funds, that we would be able to use off of these arrests.
Boy, that's fascinating. Yeah. That's fascinating to me. Talking with Mike Everett. He's the Wayne County Sheriff. I'm going to put the bath salts to bed. Is that okay?
That's fine. Sure.
I've learned a lot so far.
Good.
I appreciate that. We're talking about all kinds of things going on at the Wayne County Sheriff's Department. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit more of what's going on up there, and we'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey, joined by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We've been talking about all kinds of fun stuff today. Been talking about bath salts. Apparently fun to somebody. Yeah,
evidently.
Apparently fun to somebody. I don't get it. Let's talk a little bit about more fun stuff. You've got your budget.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going.
Gonna be submitting that win.
Huh? Oh, it's been submitted for some time now.
Process of putting together the budget for the because the end of the year is what, December 1st or November 30th?
November 30th. Mm-hmm.
So that's Happy New Year.
Yes,
Happy New Year, December 1st.
Right.
You need to have the budget approved by then and make sure that the funding is all set in place. But what all goes into creating the budget for the year 16-17?
For us, we try to compile information throughout the year. Every month, we generate a report within our office giving us percentages of what we have spent up to that point, what percent is left in the budget, and I can judge there are certain line items that we have in our budget that are static, that are the same.
Yeah.
So if I've spent 50% of my budget in that line item, then I should be 50 or above in every other line item.
Right.
Or you try to be.
Right.
So I can track it every month, and a lot of times bi-monthly, by that number. Say it's a whatever it is, something that comes out
of particular account.
Right. So we do that throughout the year, and that gives me
an
idea.
How many widgets it takes to feed your
Right.
To feed your crop population.
Right. So then come June and July, when we start really looking at the budget, I'm looking at those percentages at that point to see, okay, at the three-quarter point of the year, am I three-quarters?
Have you burned three-quarters of the month?
Right.
Or have you burned 80% or 70%?
Exactly. So that gives me an idea of what we are going to be using in the next year. Obviously, the salary line items, those are controlled through the
unions, as
right,
well
and
as,
the board as far as what they make and stuff. So we have to wait until contract negotiations are up. Like, we've got contract negotiations going on now, so that is something I have to wait on before I can plug in that number for the budget for next year. But the feed and care prisoners line item, I can judge a lot of that is determined by population as far as how many we have. It could be a really good year. It could be a really bad year, depending on population.
How's this year been?
It started out really bad. At one point in the year, I thought
and by really bad, you mean you had more people than you thought you were.
Right. It was going to be a deficit line item.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's something, even though it's a deficit line item, it gets covered. It's going to get paid.
I have to, yes. I have to feed them. I have to
people.
Take them to the doctor.
Right.
You know, we have to do all of those things. So
It started out badly.
It started out badly, but the population has been down here in the last 2 or 3 months, so it has kind of rebounded a little bit. So I think we're going to be okay in that line item.
Closer to...
Right. Closer to flush.
Closer to flush.
And we're going to be, you know, in the black this year again. But it's, you know, this has been the tightest year as far as that goes.
Is that right?
You know, I think... I've not seen the final numbers yet. Obviously, they've not voted on the budget, but I'd say next year will be even tighter for us to deal with. You know, but like I said, we're waiting on salary line item, the negotiation to get that done. But it's just a matter of looking historically over the last 2 or 3 years, what we have spent, what our needs are coming up, whether we're going to have to be training people,
right,
if we have to send people to the academy for the corrections,
right,
which I've got two to send to the academy
at the beginning
of the year. And so there's, you know, 10 weeks of overtime that I've got to fill. Well, that puts a big dent in your salary line item that maybe another year you wouldn't have.
The corrections training is 5 weeks apiece?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
So
what's the population right now?
I think there were 11 this morning.
Oh, that is, yeah, that's down.
Yeah, yeah. So it was.
That's
it's not
typical
been bad
at all, is it?
No. So it has helped in that aspect to help kind of curb the budget. We've had a lot of medical issues this year. A lot of folks with medical issues in the jail. So that has been a very huge expense this year that normally we don't have.
You've been doing this for 6 years now. Have the budgetary process changed over the course of those 6 years much at all, or is it all flowing in? You have the accounting system set up and it's all flowing. You haven't had to redo anything, huh?
No, it has become pretty routine at this point to get things done. Like I said, I have an idea of what we have spent. I have an idea of what we will need in the next year, you know, postage and utilities and different things like that.
Yeah.
So, we've kind of streamlined the process. It doesn't take very long to do, partly because, you know, the staff, with Linda Jackson helping me, she does a great job of giving me all the information I need as far as the numbers, spreadsheets, and everything that is. It makes my job a lot easier.
Well, the reason I ask that is because you've also got a county board that has to approve the budget. You've got a committees up there that have some experience working with this,
sure,
with that kind of system, and that's got to help in the long run, doesn't it?
It does. You know, the finance committee has been good to work with. You know, they a lot of times they will come up with a number, and then I will. You know, I have a different number in mind and can explain to them, you know, this is the number that we need for this, and here's the reason that this number is needed. And a lot of times they will move off of their number to accommodate. And, you know, but I'm also very
aware.
Also,
you're aware that of the constraints.
Sure, and I try to I try to save wherever we can.
Sure.
Try to do things as fiscally responsible as we can, but there are some things you just have to have the
you
line
gotta
item.
Have.
You have to fund those things, and they're always real good to listen and understand those things and move on.
Speaking of fiscal responsibility, tell me about the last time you were here. We were selling cookbooks. They were just coming out. You had just picked up the cartons,
right?
I think the last time you were here. How has that gone?
We've still got a few left. I've got to sell my two cartons.
Trying to remember. This is for these are cookbooks from the entire state, right?
Right. These are the recipes are from all over the state, from different sheriffs, chief deputies, corrections officers, whatever, from all the counties in the state. And
have you tried many of them?
I have not. I have not.
Well, yeah, it's because you're losing weight.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch that sort of thing right now. But the people that have bought them said it's a great deal, and it's a nice cookbook. It really is. For $15, you can't get a much better cookbook.
Where would one go to get the cookbook right now?
You can go to the office. We've got them there at the office. You can call. We can set one back. But yeah, the $15 for these, they go towards the.
Because the auxiliary, right?
Right. It's the ladies' auxiliary put those together. They're for the sheriff's wives, basically.
Right.
And they put it together, and they're donating all the proceeds to the scholarship fund that we use to give scholarships to the high school age kids.
Scholarships every year, too. Right,
right.
So you're raising money, basically, to give the scholarships. That's pretty good.
Sure. Deal. Yeah. It's a good cause.
I'm shocked you haven't tried any of the meals yet.
No, I have not. I've eaten a lot of the meals that are in there because a lot of them have come from my wife and some of the folks at my office. So I've eaten some of the meals, yes, but I've not tried anything new yet.
Well, that's good. Did you sell you don't handle the Fall Fun Fest. I talked with Chief Cocklazer. They handle the policing up of the Fall Fun Fest. Were you able to relax and sell some cookbooks up there during, because it's basically right there and at your front door.
It is. No, we did not. I was up there the night of the big storm.
Friday night,
yes. I was up there Friday night trying to get some food at the time, and I got run off. I was not the fair food up there did not keep me to stay getting wet and all that stuff. I'd rather go home and stay dry.
Tell me about the new bunker.
The new bunker.
The new park bunker. The bench. That's basically a bunker. You know, you could use that thing if somebody's firing on you from the northwest.
Well, from the southeast, if Jared Vaughn decides to
go around the other side,
if he starts to fire on me from the funeral home, yeah. Then I've got something to hide behind to return fire.
You better hurry. Jared can shoot.
Yes, he can. That's why I want something that big to hide behind.
A lot of folks use the bench there.
I have not seen it yet.
I'm sure it
will at some point.
That takes folks a little time to get used to stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You lost some parking lot for that, didn't you?
I lost a spot, yeah.
You lost a spot?
Yeah, lost one spot.
How often do you fill up the parking lot, though?
More frequently than you'd think.
Really?
Yes.
Whether
it be a heavy court day.
Oh, okay. There's no courthouse parking really
right.
anymore.
Right. If Johnson and Vaughn have something going on, the lot is usually full. But a lot of it is court. A lot of the courthouse employees park over there. So it gets used significantly.
Well, yeah. That's good.
Yes, it's used a lot.
Every time you come on the show, we talk about restaurants, and you don't have any today, huh?
I don't
have any new recommendations.
No, I'm sad to say that I have not gone anywhere much in the last couple of months. I've been busy here, and so I've not gone anywhere to try anything new, and been trying to cut back in some areas, so I've not tried any new restaurants.
I've been to Kansas City, so I'll give you a barbecue.
All right. Oh, I like barbecue.
In Kansas City.
Yes.
I went to Joe's, Kansas City. Joe's, Kansas City. It used to be called Oklahoma Joe's. Now it's just Joe's, Kansas City. It's a barbecue place that is part gas station, convenience store, and the other half is a barbecue place. And you go stand in line. It took us 20 or 30 minutes to get through it. And I had ribs that were just knockout. Just a knockout ribs at this Joe's Barbecue in Kansas City.
Joe's Barbecue. Okay.
Well, how often have you ever been to Kansas City? How often do you get to
I've
Kansas
been through City? It twice, I think, in my entire life.
This is on the Kansas side. So it's Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah.
But it's worth your time.
I don't go west very often.
Well, you might want to. Well, yeah, you go south.
Yeah.
I got nothing down south for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, try to, or for that matter, you can go to a Royals baseball game. I also got barbecued ribs at a baseball game that were very good. They were best ball game food I've had in years.
Wow.
Best food I've had at a baseball game in a long, long time. And then the next day I went and had barbecued ribs at the Joe's. So yeah, I was kind of parked out that way. It was pretty good, though.
It sounds like it.
So, yeah, just take that one in. Put that one in your hat.
I'll try and have something for you next month.
Well, that's cool. I appreciate you coming in today, Sheriff. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. We'll talk to you all again tomorrow. Have a great day.